Welcome back to another episode
of I'm hosting.
I thought that was just in the middle. Go ahead.
Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Perry Goldstein. I know we're so used to Maggie hosting that she just went right into it. Joined as always by Maggie. We're switching it up a little bit for this episode because we're going to talk to you about the draft. That is coming up in 2 weeks. Wow. 2 weeks. The countdown is real, but before we do that, Maggie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm still bummed that I'm not going to be at the draft, but, everybody that will be there, I'm sure it's going to be such a cool time. The people that live there year round and are posting pictures of Lambo getting all set up, it is very cool to see. And, you know, it's such a rich tradition and history, and there's always really fun things to do during training camp and Title Town getting bigger. So go live it up if you're not from the Green Bay or Wisconsin area to get to come travel for this. Is going to be really, really cool.
Yeah. Also very jealous. It's going to be, I think, unique, very unique. Once, honestly, like, it might not happen again. So at least not in our lifetimes. So once in a lifetime experience. I can't wait to see all the photos, and very special for the players who will get picked, for the Green Bay Packers to have it happened in the shadows of Lambeau Field. I think that's going to be, I know all the shots of the surrounding area and the players that Green Bay picks. It's just going to be very, the draft always tugs at my heartstrings a little bit. All the stories, they're already doing a bunch of those stories that are coming out. Like ESPN is putting them out. I love them. They make me so happy. But we are here to talk about prospective draft players. The Packers have had a number of top 30 visits. They've previously had a ton of success with their top 30 visits, at least they're a key indicator of where Green Bay is going to go, not just players specifically, because players specifically, but the positions that they're thinking of. And then we're going to talk about some Packers-y guys that Maggie is into. So let's start it. The Packers have hosted a long list of players so far. It's counting it now out, actually, it's about 18 players, if I counted that quickly. So 18 players, a nice range between defense and offense. So you can't say that they're like leaning one way or the other, in terms of, defense versus offense, but all the areas or positions of focus that you would hope, that they would be going into this draft: defensive end, offensive linemen, wide receivers, and cornerback. Those are the only positions that they have brought in. So if you're thinking around positions of need and you have your list of four, that's who the Packers have brought in. So it's a long list. We don't have to go through every single player that the Packers have had visit, but any that stand out to you or that you want to touch on.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, these lists have been really telling in the past to see where the Packers are interested. And we've seen in previous years, you know, like when they took Christian Watson, they did their due diligence on like every other wide receiver and ended up going with him. So I think it's really telling where they're interested in, you know, like what kind of body types and what kind of guys. There's nobody on this list that surprises me, right? I think we kind of agreed with that pre-show. Like, they're not having running backs come in. They're not really looking at quarterbacks. And a lot of these guys are at least day one, if not day two players. There's a couple guys like Jason Marshall, the corner out of Florida, that's probably going to be a day three guy. But I know, you know, Ted Thompson used to always use these picks on like the UDFAs that he wanted to try to sway to come to Green Bay. Now, Goody's got some names on here that you would expect to be the pick at 23, and some names that he might even have to trade up for. So names that I think are like hugely Packer picks, Mykel Williams, the edge rusher out of Georgia. One, you know, he's a Georgia player.
Yeah.
He's only 20 years old. He is like, if you built a pass rusher in a lab, you know, he's got all of like the intangibles that Goody likes. He's really freaky athletic. he's really long and strong and has big arms and a little bit of an injury history, but like you can tell his best football is coming up in front of him, which is something that Goody always looks for. So certainly wouldn't be shocked if he was there. James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. I would be curious if they brought him in because he has some off-field concerns. And I know they did that with like Devontae Wyatt. It was one of those things where, you know, maybe they need to hear it from him and see, you know, if he checks out and if they're comfortable drafting him. But he's certainly a name that's been linked to the Packers a lot. Shamar Stewart is kind of a project-y edge rusher, but again, he's only 21. He performed so well at the Senior Bowl that his representation was like, you should go home. Like, you should just go home. It's not worth it to potentially risk an injury here. So certainly makes sense with all the defensive ends or the edge rushers here. TJ Sanders is a really fun defensive lineman, and Tyleek Williams, both very different. TJ Sanders, more of a pass rusher. Tyleek Williams, more of a run stuffer. So really curious to see, you know, if they would lean in either of those directions. And then, of course, Siobhan Revel, I think, is probably the only corner here who would have like a high grade. So I'm not sure if that means absolutely anything, you know, with what they're looking. I don't think they invest in Nate Hobbs and then decide to go draft a corner in the first round, but who knows, right? I mean, I think it depends what happens with Jair too, so.
Yeah, I actually disagree. I could see them, if a good corner falls, double dipping at the position. They've done it a lot in the past, just doubling down in one area that they think is an area of need. I don't know if the Packers think that this is an area of need, though, yeah, enough to do it. I think some areas of fandom would argue that it is, but I think the Packers front office would not. It seems very heavy defensive front. Like you mentioned a few guys who are run stuffers, but edge rush. And, you know, if you had to put your money on it, you'd like to think they're going edge rusher at 23, given that they didn't address that position at all this offseason. But also, again, it just depends on the way the board falls. But it does sound like, to your point, they're just really doing their research and their due diligence around the guys who could potentially be available there for them in that position group.
Well, and I think it's so interesting, too, because, like, I don't know. And Andy Herman did a great breakdown on Mykel Williams today, actually, if you're into deep scouting some of these prospects. But we always look at guys that we think are like Packersy picks. And I think what we've learned from Goody is that he's really kind of breaking the mold, right? Yes, he's been doing this since 2018, but that's not a ton of sample sizes when you're looking at like first round picks. And we had a couple COVID years in there that kind of skewed the way that players were tested. This is, I think I read, like the least amount of athletic testing we've seen prospects doing. Relative athletic scores are kind of incomplete this year. A lot of players aren't running the 40, or they're not doing all of the testing because they don't want to put their bodies through that. So kind of the measurements that we used to use to evaluate like who some of these freaky athletes are, it's incomplete data. So it's forcing us to kind of go back and like really watch the tape and do the player interviews and see, you know, how these guys would fit in Green Bay. So one player, he's not, he didn't take a top 30 visit yet or anything with Green Bay, but like Donovan Ezeraku is like a really small edge rusher by traditional Brian Gutekunst standards. But I think he's absolutely in play at 23. Like, I think that's what's so interesting about the guys that are on this current list for Green Bay is that they're looking at everybody. You know, they're not really leaving any stone unturned here, which is what you want from them, especially knowing that some of their first round selections maybe haven't been home runs in the past. Like, I think this is really important for them to get out there and do it the right way. So it'll be really interesting. And I mean, like, a lot of wide receiver research here. And
I was going to ask you, talk to me about some of these wide receivers. Well, there's Isaiah Bond out of Texas. There's Matthew Golden, also out of Texas. And then Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State. But those are the only three that they've brought mm-hmm. in. It doesn't, I mean, look, you get how many visits, so you have to be selective with who you bring in. But again, heavy on the defensive lineman, little bit lighter on the wide receiver.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what's so interesting, not to change the subject, but like before we talk about wide receivers, is at the combine, it felt like Goody in the owner's meeting was saying, like, I think we're set at defensive line. I feel really good about it. But the top 30 visits they're bringing in would make you think otherwise. You know, like, yeah, it feels like there's certainly an emphasis. And I know, you know, what's he going to say? Like, you know, we think this room is struggling. We could use some help. Like, but there is the new defensive line coach, obviously came over from the Patriots. That could make a difference. No more Jason Rebovich. Jeff Hafley is going to be in his second season as well as the defensive coordinator. So I think they're looking at this going, like, it's a really, really good year to need a defensive lineman. So you would think the Packers would take at least one or two swings, knowing that Devontae Wyatt's potentially got a fifth-year option, but then he could be out the door. Kenny Clark is somehow going to be 30. It feels like he's still 22, but he's an aging prospect. And then you've got, like, rotational pieces. And I think, you know, Peter Bukowski had a really good point on Locked On Packers this morning, but I think if the Packers are looking at taking a wide receiver this early, it might indicate that Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs aren't back. You know, it might show that they're not keen on signing either of them long-term, or maybe they're prioritizing Jaden Reed and they know they can't afford all these guys. Maybe they're really concerned about Doubs and the concussions. Christian Watson might not be back till November. And, you know, even if he does come back, he might want a fresh start, or he might only want a one-year deal to see, you know, what his rehab is like after the ACL. So the receivers they're looking at are certainly, you know, Matthew Golden could be a round one guy, but they're day two guys. You know, it's not like these are UDFAs that Goody's trying to make sure want to play in Green Bay. Like, these are prospects that are going to be drafted really highly and should be immediate impact, like, day one receivers.
I don't know if I take that as a, oh, I mean, sure, that you always have to anticipate you're going to lose talent. It's the NFL. You're not going to be able to pay everyone. And you and I think have been talking ad nauseum about the impending contract negotiations that are going to happen this offseason and next offseason with both wide receiver classes. But I do feel a little bit like it's very clear that there's a missing piece in this wide receiver room, just like from a talent perspective. And so even if they do keep everyone, even if every single wide receiver came back from last season and was fully healthy, you would still feel like we should be bringing talent into this room. So I would still feel the same, like, regard aside from the contracts of it all, aside from the Christian Watson injuries, that they should be continuously adding to this room, and not just with, like, you know, a fifth round day three, like, let's take a flyer on him, maybe he's good pick, like, with a real, with, like, you know, real capital. So I don't know if I, like, buy into, you know, the reading into too much of, like, the what it means, so much as maybe it just means that they place value here, and as they should. And so picking a guy on day two is just keeping this room full of talent the way it always should.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, the top 30 visits obviously matter a ton, and we can talk about previous players that Goody has hit on, but there's certainly players on this list, or not on this list, I should say, that the Packers are really interested in, right? We heard that Tet McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona, that the Packers were, like, all in at his pro day, right? So just because they haven't had some of these players in for a visit certainly doesn't mean that they're not very intrigued by them. They could just be doing some of their scouting at some of these pro days and not wanting to burn a 30 visit. But that feels like a really good opportunity for us to quickly talk about the Cheesehead TV draft guide, which is on sale now. Make sure you grab a copy if you love draft content as much as we do at Cheesehead TV. Funnily enough, Shamar Stewart is the cover photo, it looks like, for this one. And he, of course, was a top 30 visit. He's been linked to the Packers quite a bit. So make sure you grab a guide. They're available now, and you can find out all about every one of these prospects in the guide and do your own research. Because, like Perry said at the top of the show, we got 2 weeks left until somebody is, you know, holding a jersey and putting on that cool hat with the bike pin on it outside of Lambeau Field. So
yeah,
not much time left.
No, not at all. No, the draft guide every year is fantastic. You always, I read through it, you know, we get a sneak peek naturally. And it's just so chock full of incredible information. Always learn so much. People, the team puts so much effort into it. So go check it out. Before we talk about previous successes, talk to me about the O-line men because they've made, you know, obviously use their first round pick last season on an offensive lineman. They made the big splash in free agency on an offensive lineman. You know, we know they lost Josh Myers, but I don't know how much of a net negative that is per se. You felt really good after the Aaron Banks signing of like, okay, maybe they have their top five. Is this we're really scouting top talent because we don't feel confident and there's so much change happening on the line. We still feel like we don't have our top five. Or is this we always look at offensive linemen every draft and that's the Packers way vibe?
I mean, to me, it's certainly the latter. I think that if somebody were to like fall to them, potentially it would be enticing. Josh Simmons, I believe, has like an injury history that they're probably trying to clear up a little bit, but he's probably the only true like high grade on here. I think the other guys would be late day two or early day three. But yeah, I mean, there's certainly good players here, but the Packers are so, I mean, they draft tackles, right? Like they don't historically go out and scout guards and centers. And certainly like Jacob Bayer from Arkansas State plays center. So it's possible that they're looking at a potential backup for Elton Jenkins because offensive linemen get hurt. Like that's unfortunately the nature of the business. So if there's somebody there that they really like, I think that I wouldn't cross it out even in the first round, but I would be really surprised unless, like I said, they were in love with Simmons, who I think is probably the only player who has like that really high late round one, early round two grade. There's mm-hmm. other players that like Anthony Belton to me is like probably a late day two, early day three guy. He was in for a visit. Yeah, most of these guys have played tackle and are just going to shift over because that feels like such a Packers-y thing for them to do. So I don't know. Yeah. I feel like they'll at least take two, right? Like that seems
always.
You gotta replenish the cabinet here, but yeah. it also feels like a year that they potentially won't need as many because I think they have some really nice depth that just about every spot, maybe but swing tackle.
Yeah. I mean, especially guys who didn't get a ton of playing, like they got almost no playing time last season, so deserve that opportunity to develop. All right, let's talk about, I mean, top 30 visits are pretty indicative, at least in Packers history, of where they're going, right? There have been a number of players that have been brought in. We've already named a few, Devontae Wyatt being one that you've mentioned, that the Packers brought in and then drafted. Edge Cooper last season is the big one. They brought him in, and then, as we all know, he is now a rising star. So these matter. This is not like a fringe fan conspiracy theory about the Packers drafting tendencies. This is just hardcore facts. So there have been some successes. There have been some failures. That's the draft. We wanted to talk about a few in the past other than the two that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Love, a big one. Obviously, he came in. That it's probably the most notable. Sure. But in 2022, they hit on six. Devontae Wyatt, like we said, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Rashid Walker, Samori Toure, and then Tariq Carpenter. So I think the Rashid Walker one is really interesting. Yeah, Tariq Carpenter is a throwback. Thought he was going to be a really fun tweener at inside linebacker and safety. But
you also loved Romeo Doubs in that draft. I remember that so hard. You called that one. Just give Maggie a shout out.
I need to stop buying jerseys of players that I love, though, because I don't know how many of them are going to get second contracts. But that's a problem for another day. But yeah, Rashid Walker, I think, is a big one here, too, right? The Packers obviously bringing somebody in that they thought could be a tackle of the future. And yes, he's going to be competing with Jordan Morgan this offseason for the left tackle job, but could prove to be a really valuable swing tackle, if nothing else, as a seventh rounder. And that's what more could you ask for? Most recently, last season, obviously, you said Edge Cooper already. Tyron Hopper came in, and then Ketan Oladapo was here as well. So that's three picks for the Packers. Before that, Carl Brooks came in. I think he was really under the radar. You know, not too many people had him on Green Bay's radar. Sean Clifford as a depth piece behind Jordan Love, really interesting there. And Dontavian Wicks, again, not necessarily somebody that, you know, the Packers, after Jaden Reed, we were like, well, maybe they'll double dip. And they did with somebody, you know, that they had in for a visit. So they also have a history drafting guys, like we mentioned earlier in the show, that are, they just go undrafted, right? Guys they'll bring in that they're trying to get like an inside look at. Tim Boyle being one of those players. Shout out to Andy Herman, who loved him so much. Kadeem Telfort and Donovan Jennings. So a lot of these big offensive tackles that they bring in undrafted free agency are guys that are probably like fringe seventh round guys. And I think Goody likes to bring them in and get a bug in their ear. Like, you should come in Green Bay. We have such a great history of developing tackle talent. And, you know, then they stick guys, around. Yeah.
Undrafted guys have great, great histories in Green Bay. So we know that agents really tell players, like, go to Green Bay's camp. You'll have a good shot. Any super Packers Z guys that haven't been brought in that you want to talk about?
This is a good question because I think I have like a different metric for Packers Z guys. And that's why I love things like
talk about it. We like different.
Well, that's why I love things like the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Cause I have players that I'm like, oh man, he would be a dream in Green Bay. And then there'll be an article that's like, this is a player the Packers would never draft. And it's always different, you know? So if you're listening to this and you love a player and they're like a little bit undersized or their three cone wasn't very good, like, don't give up hope, right? There's always a chance that Goody's going to break his tendencies for a player that you really like. One player that I've talked about a little bit on Packaday that I think is really interesting is Darian Porter out of Iowa State. He's a corner. He's 6'2", 195, has a 9.99 relative athletic score. So very freaky athlete, which is something we know that Goody covets. He's a wide receiver turned corner. And I feel like the Packers are really into that, right? They've had so many corners on their roster who started on the offensive side of the ball. And it just helps with their ball skills and, you know, reading the quarterbacks. So he'd be like a fun day two flyer, I think, if we're looking at expanding, you know, the cornerback room. I haven't done much looking at safeties this year because it just feels like a position that I would have an impossible time seeing them take. And, you know, for all we know, that means they're going to take one in the second round, but it feels tricky to me. There's also some really interesting like inside linebackers that are kind of tweeners. Like they'll rush the passer and can play inside, like Jihad Campbell out of Alabama. He's kind of a tweener between edge and inside linebacker. Would probably be incredible next to Edge Cooper. And again, I don't know what this means for like Quay Walker, but certainly interested in this inside linebacker class, just knowing that there could be some changes upcoming. Mm-hmm. Landon Jackson to me out of Arkansas, an edge rusher, feels very much like a Packer. He's like a very traditional 4-3 defensive end, like a big dude who probably is not going to make anybody like super stoked if he's the pick, you know, because he's just such like a, I like speed rushers. You and I have talked about this. It feels like the Packers always have like a type and mm-hmm. I want to see something different in their pass rush arsenal, which is why I love Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College, because he's little and twitchy and fast and he can bend. Landon Jackson is like just a massive dude who is going to kind of bowl you over, which seems like what the Packers have gone for historically. He's 6'6", 264, really good explosion, but it's not going to be like the most exciting pick I think that the Packers could make.
Maybe Jeff Hafley can get them to make some adjustments in who they take on that side of the ball. If he's like, you know, I could really use a guy like this and we don't have someone like that.
I don't know if you've seen this on the socials, but it seems like Derek Harmon out of Oregon is like slowly becoming every Packer fan's like favorite idea.
So he won't get picked then.
Well, I think he also profiles really well as like a Steeler. He's like a baby mm-hmm. Cam Hayward. So I could see the Steelers nabbing him like two picks before the Packers, but
classic.
I do think that defensive line and edge, like if you're going to look at the draft guide and do some studying, that's probably the positions that I would be spending a lot of time on.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I spend the most time just because those are my favorite positions to watch anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly if, if the Packers need help at either position this year. It's a good year to need help because there's a lot of depth, especially at defensive line. There's like really good talent even into day three that I think could come in and replicate at least the TJ Slayton role, if nothing else. Yeah. So
my favorite question I've been asking myself is, if the Packers somehow drafted Travis Hunter, would they play him at wide receiver or would they play him at corner?
I would play him at corner and I would give him like 20, 25 snaps at wide receiver. Cause I know he wants to do it full time, like both, but man, I can't imagine. I'm sure he could. Right. And it's like, he eats, sleeps, breathes football.
That's a lot of snaps.
Right. That's
like, on your body.
Yeah. And I mean, he did it. But to sustain that now for like what you're hoping is like a decades long career, I think he just, I would let him, I guess, pick his, like, I think it depends too. I think the Browns said they'd want him to play like a wide receiver. I've seen other teams say they would project him at corner and then move him around. So he's going to be a really interesting domino, like where he falls in the first three picks, five picks.
I think he's so fun because we talk a lot about tweeners and we talk about, oh yeah, like this guy, he played wide receiver in high school and then he switched to corner, right? I don't think we've ever seen a guy who legitimately plays two positions.
Just didn't switch.
Just two, like, on completely opposite sides of the ball who can play both at a high level in the NFL. And teams will use him in different ways. And I just think the way he's going to impact the draft is going to be so, so curious. I agree with you. It would be fun to have him as a corner and then do a little like what Matt did with Keyshawn Nixon, a few offensive snaps, which like you kind of hope he would do more of, but then doesn't. And then he will not fall to 23. So I think I can say that with confidence.
Well, and it's funny to hear, like, Mina Kimes was talking about like Tet McMillan as her wide receiver one. And everyone's like, Travis Hunter's wide receiver on. And she's like, oh yeah, duh. Cause you just forget that he doesn't really count as the number one corner. He doesn't really count as the number one wide receiver. Cause he's both. So when you make like your cornerback big boards and your wide receiver big boards, he's just like excluded. Cause he's a unicorn. So he's just like the best overall prospect. Although I will say that JJ Peegs out of Ole Miss is a defensive lineman who plays fullback sometimes. So
I love that. So
giving me like vintage BJ Raji vibes. If the Packers want to take him on day three and have their own version of the tush push with a 309-pound defensive tackle from Ole Miss, I think that, you know, that's the kind of crossover prospect that we're looking at getting in Green Bay. Not Travis Hunter, but we'll take the nose tackle that can be a fullback. Because you need a fullback in Green Bay.
I know you. We need one. I do love that. I mean, the tush push isn't getting banned anytime soon, so we might as well use it to our advantage. Okay, last question, because I know next week we won't talk about this, but I mentioned it top of the show. But any feel good stories? I have one, but I want that you have like latched onto, like you don't really care where the player gets drafted to. You're just like, damn, I'm really rooting for you.
I haven't like had any yet. And I think it's because I've been so busy watching highlights and like cut-ups that I haven't gotten to listen to the interviews, but that's like my favorite part is after I do like the research on the player is to go back and listen to the audio and like see if it, I don't know, changes anything about like the way that I view some of these guys. So I'm curious to hear yours because I would love some feel good stories.
So mine, I also think that he'd be like a really great day three player. His name is Ahmed Hassanin, and he's about to be the very first Egyptian player to ever get drafted in the NFL.
That's very cool.
He's the first Egyptian player to go to the combine, so he's already like made a milestone, but he's a defensive end from Boise State, like big edge rusher. He literally didn't learn football until like, I don't know, his junior year of high school. And then got some, it just like all clicked, and he plays for Boise State. In his last two seasons, he had 24 sacks. And he's just like a very raw, still very raw, right? When you learn the game late, there's like a lot of those like technique things that you still have to clean up, but he's got just an insane amount of athleticism, and he absolutely crushed his pro day, like crushed his pro day. So he's projected right now as like a fifth, sixth round player. But just the story of, you know, he moved to the US and moved in with his brother basically to like give him a better opportunity, and was introduced to football, and it became his whole life. And he could be the very first Egyptian player to play in the NFL.
That is very cool. I love stuff like that. I like, and I know the like the Player Pathways program is becoming more and more popular too. The Packers obviously had a couple on their roster the last couple seasons. Of note, it sounds like the Packers are not going to be traveling to Ireland. I know that was like the big talking point of the offseason, was that they would potentially play the Steelers. But it sounds like the Steelers are wanting to protect that game, knowing how well Packers fans travel, especially if there's a certain quarterback that happens to be playing with the Steelers for a season or two. So sorry to the Irish Packer fans. I know they were really looking forward to that. It would have been a very cool atmosphere with two fan bases that travel really well. But I think we can go ahead and share who's going to be here with us next week, right? I mean,
yeah, let's do it.
If you love the draft, please, 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 please follow the Draft Fellows. They're on Blue Sky on YouTube. They're doing some collaborations with Pack-A-Day this season. But talk about guys that study the draft like 365. You know, they live and breathe this all year. We do this after the season ends, and then we have a couple months to try to condense all of this information into digestible Packers episodes. They just do it all the time. Andrew Mertig, Kyle Fellows, they do really great draft work. And Andrew's going to join us next week. He's been on the last couple seasons. He takes his victory laps when he gets players right. He takes his lumps when he badmouths players and they either end up or don't end up in Green Bay. But we'll have him next week. So stick around for that one. It'll be a ton of fun because he is always fun to talk draft prospects with, and he'll give you his unfiltered opinions, which is why we love Andrew.
Yeah. We've had him on, this is the third year in a row now, I think, doing pre-draft stuff. And he just is not afraid to go against the grain. He will not give you the takes that everyone else is giving you and that you're hearing. Like, he will say, everybody loves this player and I can't stand him, or nobody's talking about this guy and I think he's awesome. And I think that's the best thing about having him on. And it's always a good time.
Yeah, he had Carrington Valentine graded like rounds higher than anybody else. Absolutely adored Carrington Valentine. And he's never going to let that go.
Yeah.
So, which is fair. So we'll see who he picks next week. He's got some players that he really, really loves. I've gotten a sneak peek of that, obviously doing Pack-A-Day with him. But yeah, it'll be a ton of fun. So make sure you stick around for that. And then, of course, we always have our mock draft the week before or the week of the actual draft that'll be coming. And then the draft is here. So just a couple more shows until the draft is upon us. And we're talking about the players that Green Bay drafted and not who we think they're going to draft.
Much more fun. Much more fun. Well, that's all we have for you today. I hope you enjoyed the hosting switch up. It was fun for me. Give Maggie a break every once in a while. You can find the show everywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple. Follow us on YouTube at Packs What She Said, Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter. We post the links everywhere. You can follow Maggie at Maggie J. Loney. I'm like giving you my handle. You can follow me at Perry_Goldstein. And like we mentioned halfway through the show, go check out the Cheesehead TV draft guide. I'm sure they'll be doing all kinds of things during the draft. They always have fun live episodes. And thanks for listening, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.